Hello and welcome to Creative Instinct, our weekly plunge into a deep and creative world. I'm Michael Sheriffs, and today we're going to Australia's north to meet a gutsy little outfit called Artback NT. As the name suggests, Artback are based in the Northern Territory. They're a tiny operation who tour artists and performers and musicians throughout Australia's vast north and centre, connecting remote communities to bigger cultural conversations. But if that's not enough, they also spread the joy across the rest of Australia, and they do it on the smell of an oily rag.
They're important to the top end. They're important to the country. They're important to every regional centre in Australia. People need to, A, have their stories told, and B, they need to see their stories up in lights. And Artback makes that possible. It's as simple as that.
My name's Angela O'Donnell, and I run the performing arts program at Artback NT.
And what is Artback?
Artback NT is the Territory's visual and performing arts touring and skills development organisation. We're a not-for-profit group that work with Territory artists and Territory audiences in order to build their work and their opportunities, to connect them nationally, and also to bring other artists and other people to the Territory and to Territory work around the country.
I mean, the logistical burdens of touring, music, theatre, anything, anywhere, are enormous. Doing it in the top end,
yep,
in the centre, is mind-boggling. So,
yeah, it's a bit of madness. The rewards are great, though, so that's why we do it. Certainly not financially great, but from an audience and from an artist perspective, they're extraordinary.
I'm Chips McNulty, the chairperson of Artback in the Northern Territory.
Chips McNulty is a top-end phenomenon, a self-styled ratbag artist and antagonist who was hired by the Claire Martin government as an arts advisor. As well as his work with Artback and numerous other organisations, he now works with the Aboriginal Medical Service Alliance in the Northern Territory, but he still remains an outsider at heart.
I think what has inspired me to sort of take on the role and then being sort of dragooned into chairing the organisation is the fact that it does deal with the bush. I remember when I was in the 80s, spent large parts of my life out bush. At that stage, groups like the then Arts Council, plus also some small level of private entrepreneurship, toured through the bush to remote communities, and it was always a sort of fabulous thing to arrive in a community where there was an event happening that night, and a really sort of valuable part of community life back then as it is now. And we're the only group in the Territory and effectively in Australia that tours performing arts, music in particular, as well as visual arts, to very, very remote locations. We serve every shire council in the Territory, and that means that, you know, on a tour, we're touring sometimes thousands of kilometres with a single act in quite intense periods for the staff of Artback, who all deserve medals, I believe. And that's the inspiration, because the Territory is a weird place. There's a sort of one large city sitting on the northern edge of the place. It covers a sixth of the Australian continent and only 1% of the Australian population. But it only has a meaning as an entity if you include the whole of the Territory, and that means the bush.
And you're describing arts events in remote communities, and arts events in that setting are just that, they're special events, because unlike city-based communities, remote communities are not spoilt for choice. It actually means something.
Oh, absolutely, and it can be sometimes a thing that would be seen as a very passive event in a big city and one of hundreds, if not thousands, of other events in that city. They can be really lively and quite fantastic things. For example, we've got a dance event each year, which for the last 3 years, I think now, has been in Tennant Creek, and that draws Aboriginal dance groups from all over Central Australia, and there's a real buzz about it. It's not a cultural event like going to the Opera House to see something, where you pay your tickets and sit back in comfortable chairs. You know, it's in the dust, it's in the outdoors for the most part, and there's a really active engagement from the audience as well as the participants.
And this event, Dance Site, yeah, is not just actually an event. It's an ongoing process, an ongoing project that goes throughout the year, encouraging communities to relearn, reteach, rekindle their dance culture, and I suppose by virtue of that also their music culture, and then bring it to a collective space.
And one which is sort of quite competitive in a sense. It'd be like seeing four or five ballet companies get in one place and sort of trying to outdo each other. I mean, there's a lot of fun in that regard. And people from, say, you know, very deep into the desert around Yuendumu will be coming up for it and experiencing dance from saltwater people in the Barkly and the Borroloola region. And the sort of engagement of people with each other's dancing and so on is really quite intense. It's hard to imagine elsewhere where that would be possible.
So this mix of artists and performers from the region and from further afield, how important is that, I suppose, for Artback, but how important is it for these remote communities to get that balance, the weird outsiders and the people that they know as well?
Yeah, I think it's massively important. It's important for any artist to be exposed to other artists' work, both from a cultural perspective of engaging with the broader sort of sector and scene and being able to influence your work in different ways, but also simply for an opportunity for people to be exposed to new things and to be entertained, to actually have access to things that people in our cities or towns around the country have access to is really important. There's an enormous amount of rhetoric around things like closing the gap. What I guess is sometimes missing is simple exposure. That's not through electronic means. That's not part of a national broadband rollout where we're just receivers of culture through technology in our communities in the NT, but where we're actually active participants in live music, in live theatre, in being exposed to different forms of dance or different forms of puppetry or expression in all the wild and wonderful ways that we can be.
My name's Megan Wood and I have been working in the Northern Territory at a remote school about 400 k's north of Alice Springs called Alikurung.
To give a sense of scale, the small community of Alikurung is 4 hours from Alice Springs and at least 10 hours from Darwin. So when an organisation like Artback makes the effort to bring an event to town, as they recently did with Little Big Shots, which is a festival of films made by young people, it really does count for something.
I remember Angela sending the posters down for Little Big Shots, and there was Darwin, Catherine, Tennant Creek and Alikurung was on this poster amongst all these big towns, and even when I was posting them around the community, people were so excited that this group, this team of film directors or filmmakers were coming to Alikurung. Was just, they were gobsmacked. They were so excited that Alikurung made it to the poster. Again, strengthening the pride in their community and showing how valuable it is when people come and give them attention and their time, and yeah, shows that they're worth the visit. They're worth the trip from Darwin, and then maybe they're missing out on one less event.
And for people that live in big urban centres who are spoilt for choice, you know, who have, you know, any given night, you know, dozens, hundreds of events on theatre, music and all of that, it's very hard to understand what it's like to have a thing so precious as a single event happening.
Yeah, definitely. And for some people living in the community, like myself, it's obviously a choice to go and work and live in Alikurung. But for the people that are actually living there, that's their country. That Alikurung is their country, and that's where they belong, and that's where they want to be living. And yeah, it's just unfortunate that they're so disadvantaged in a lot of different areas. that don't happen in cities and suburbs. And so that's why it's so important when people make these connections and organisations take time and invest energy into not just coming on a one-off thing, but come and make it a regular thing where they show their skills and demonstrate what's out there in the big wide world, but also follow through by showing them how to get there and what they can do to one day do the same thing.
Tell me what you observed with the children that are in your school.
Mm.
How did they respond to this? Because this would be a major event. This is a major thing. Mm. Not that they have to travel to, that's actually coming to them.
Yeah.
So how did they respond?
Yeah, they loved it. I was speaking with Angela and Elle before they started screening the films, and they were kind of saying, oh, I don't know how they're going to respond, like it could go either way. But the kids were totally engaged, and there wasn't a lot of dialogue in some of the films, so even that visual aspect of just watching the different animations that have been put together, and we got a great turnout.
And what about the adults? What about parents? Was there a sort of a sense that the children and the parents were sharing something together?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of the time we have these community events, it's like the adults and they all kind of sit and make a big semicircle around the park where we usually have these events, and the kids all sit in the middle. And yeah, it's fantastic. Everyone brings their blankets and brings their dinner down, and yeah, it just has a really, really community feel to it.
So what about afterwards? What's the sort of sense of how the children process that experience, in the sense that there is follow-up from Artback? What do they say to you about that?
Usually it does depend on how much time was invested in the actual kids. I know Angela followed up the next day by working with our middle school students and actually giving them the opportunity to have a go at making these animations and showing them the equipment that needs to be used. But we also have to remember that in saying that they don't get a lot of opportunity outside school hours, there are a lot of organisations that kind of come and then go, and they're used to that. The kids are used to people coming and going. They're used to teachers coming and going. So it's important that we're trying to create sustainable programs and sustainable events. You can't just walk into these communities and expect that things are going to go your way and your way is going to work. You need to spend a lot of time listening and a lot of time building strong and positive relationships before you can start making changes.
You have to earn that trust.
Yeah, you definitely have to earn that trust. And I think you earn it by showing that you can listen, that you can go and sit. And yes, it might be a bit awkward. Silence can be very awkward. But the next time you go and sit down and listen, the conversation will start, and the next time you might contribute something, and then the next time it'll just slowly build up, because people come and go from these communities all the time, and if you can show that you're coming for the right reasons and you're there to listen and hear the people who actually come from that communities, hear what they have to say and listen to their advice, it'll be the best piece of information, the best advice that you'll ever get to your key to succeeding in that community.
One of the troops that I saw last year was Terrapin Theatre with their boats puppet show, and they're from Hobart, and they were a couple of pale southern white boys suddenly launched out into the middle of Australia.
Mm.
They'd never done it before.
Until your eyes fill up like balloons, you will say no.
You are taking performers to a place that's often going to be outside their comprehension.
Absolutely.
So what's that like, I suppose, for you, as much as anything else, to be able to do that? What does that do?
It's really fantastic. Terrapin were great, and we knew that there was a sort of simpatico between the two ends of the country, really.
Tasmania.
Yeah. Between Tassie and Darwin, there's actually, or the NT, there's actually great similarities. And while there's huge differences, those similarities, that common ground that is there in isolated artists is really strong. There's also a huge commitment from Terrapin to engage one of our NT Indigenous performers in the process of that show. So acknowledging that they are all the way from Hobart and that they're on different country and that there are different expectations, you know, protocols to follow. So Ben Gratz, who's an Indigenous performer from the Daly River region, worked with that company and introduced the show and was a bit of a conduit for that show in different locations. Those guys ended up in remote homeland communities that really very few people get to go to. And I think it blew their minds a little bit.
I personally certainly did a lot more worrying than I think I needed to do.
That's Quinn Griggs, who teamed up with Brett Rogers to perform the Terrapin Theatre's production of Boats across the Northern Territory last year.
I wasn't sure whether language would be a barrier, because we did go to some Indigenous communities where we were told in advance that some of the kids' English wasn't the first language, but it's amazing how well it was received.
So what's the appeal of coming up here? I mean, apart from the fact that it just takes the story to a new audience, what's the sort of appeal for you as actors, as a company, to be able to bring the stories here?
It's been incredible to kind of share the difference between our story and their story. Like, I know I've taken a lot away from going out to these communities and learning, you know, part of their story and kind of seeing how they live. And, you know, the people that we've been touring with have been very informative in terms of educating us on how storytelling goes here. Like, I think that's what's been incredible, is that we have one story. There's so many different stories, and being able to share that is what's truly special.
Because a lot of the audience are adults, and a lot of the audience are people who, like myself, who come and really respond to good traditional storytelling.
Well, I think that's what varies. Like, as I said, from each show, we've got a great kind of adult-based audience, and then sometimes we've got like a lot of three-year-olds. So in terms of versatility with how you perform the show, it's very different. And of course, audiences take, you know, very different things away from the show. So,
Sometimes the audience takes some of your bits away from the show. You said that sometimes you've got toddlers going around taking bits of the set away.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of after the show, they're so inquisitive in terms of how we create everything. They're kind of running up and they're grabbing bits and pieces and prop and kind of running off instantly trying to create things in the corner of the room, which is great to see.
Well, I think you've got the toy box. Why can't they?
Yeah, exactly. Why not? Absolutely. I hope they go home and kind of inspire their parents to do some old-fashioned puppetry and storytelling.
John, look out!
You're with Creative Instinct on RN, RA and the Web. I'm Michael Sheriffs, marvelling at the top-end ingenuity of a small arts organisation called Artback.
My name's Glenn Campbell. I'm a photographer based in Darwin, in the Northern Territory, and I'm about to embark on an Artback tour of my exhibition entitled Shrine, which is a journey through the landscape of loss and memory up and down the Stuart Highway.
Now, as an artist, tell me what an organisation like Artback, what Artback makes possible that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise, or at least would be difficult.
It's time and distance. We're going from Darwin to Katherine, Tennant Creek and Alice Springs, and it takes time to install, do an artist workshop, go to the openings, and really put the finishing touches to an event where a lot of visual art that's territory-based doesn't actually get seen in the Northern Territory. You've got Darwin and Alice, but the rest of the territory doesn't really get much of a look in, and I'm really glad that I can get this work out to the people and the places that are concerned with the issues that are being addressed here.
More broadly, your work's become important because it documents aspects of remote Australia that most of us don't see and often don't have access to. But why is it important to take those sorts of images back to the source? Why, for you as an artist, is it good to sort of do that full circle?
It's a validation of the input that the people put in and the faith that they had in me to help tell their story. I've been always brought back photographs and prints of the places that I go to. I reckon I'm the most collected photographer in Australia, I think, sometimes, because I've got there's usually a picture of mine on most houses, inside most houses in most communities in the Northern Territory. And I'd rather have them up there on those walls and have people proud of the representation and proud of the attention. And it's just the done thing. You have to give back. You can't just take. Otherwise, you'll never be asked back.
So it's an aspect of ongoing conversation with people and places, so that when you do go back to the remote communities, there's a history for you.
Yeah, there is. And there's a knowledge, there's a memory. And, you know, a lot of the people I photograph die or leave the communities. But, oh, you're that bloke who took that picture of old Uncle such and such. Oh, yeah, I will. You come and talk to me and take my photo. And that's how you work in places like that. You can't just, you know, blaze in and start snapping away. You've really got to build relationships. And that's sort of borne fruit in a lot of ways in various places. And the excitement that people feel when you walk up to them outside the shop with a fistful of prints is just everyone just crowd. People come from everywhere just, you know, looking at them, feeling them, touching them, you know, folding them up and putting them in their pockets. And, you know, it makes me feel like less of an interloper and more of a collaborator.
One of the functions or tricks that Artback is increasingly performing, as if the touring side isn't enough, is training. One of the greatest obstacles to getting an event up in a remote location is the cost and the scarcity of good technical support on the ground. But Artback are getting around this by training people in these communities, with the goal of eventually becoming a certified training organisation.
We have only just started, I think, to touch the tip of the iceberg with the potential for that. And certainly locally, if we're in a community for a length of time, we want to be able to engage people as local liaison, as local production staff, and build that skills base. That's particularly strong in the music program, because oftentimes you will have musicians, very strong musicians in communities that want to engage on that level as well. And it's been very challenging, I think, the formal education processes for people that are post sort of high school age. And we're certainly keen to build that more and more and get more people engaged in that sort of work. That's slowly, but it's definitely, it's a long-term goal to make sure that we can actually crew things. I mean, also, it's really hard to get staff for a lot of things in the NT. It's a small population base and we've got a huge program. So the more we can do that, the better.
And the problem, in my mind, for such a small organisation is that really any one of these aspects is a really big ask.
Well, the Territory's a weird place. I mean, it's very much down to dedicated staff who, of course, run a huge risk of sort of burning out because I think in the last year or so there was something like 260 or 270 events outside Darwin that were in one way or other backed by or coordinated by Artback. And we do it on the smell of an oily rag. In 2010, we had local audiences in the Territory for various activities of around 100,000 people. But we also had interstate audiences of 170,000. So we're very much involved in what I've always termed the export industry of arts within Australia as well, and none of the other states or territories achieve that kind of thing.
It just so sounds like the little engine that could. Speaking to me there was artist Chips McAnulty, who's the chair of Artback NT. And before that, we heard Angela O'Donnell, who runs the performing arts program for Artback, photographer Glenn Campbell, whose exhibition called Shrine is just about to tour the Territory and who last year won a Walkley Award for a remarkable photo essay called Stolen Spirits. We also heard from actors Brett Rogers and Quinn Griggs from Terrapin Puppet Theatre, whose show called Boats toured with Artback in 2011, and Megan Woods, who's been the senior teacher at a remote community called Ali Karung in the Northern Territory. Many thanks to John Jacobs for his production magic. I'm Michael Sheriffs, and you can find out a lot more about Artback by going to the RN website, abc.net.au/radionational, and following the links to Creative Instinct.